You're not leaving until I find out what sort of slander you intend to spread about honest folk. You're Justin Salver.
I am.
Wow.
You're Ken Hanke.
Thank you for noticing.
You're welcome.
Yes, and we are...
Elitist Bastards.
Yes, that's right. And...
We've been to the movies.
We've been to the movies, and we're going to regale you with stories of how exciting that was or wasn't.
Yes. It wasn't for me, at least, but
I can't say it was really exciting for me either. Would you like to get your pain out of the way first?
Yes, I watched Flipped, which is the new Rob Meathead Reiner film.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's he had a heyday back in the 80s. It's long since forgotten, I think, at this point.
As far as any sort of serious value, I think it all hinges on Spinal Tap.
Okay.
I think everything after that is just like, he made some, okay chick flick type things.
Right. But
I personally
even
always
that,
hated Harry Met Sally, but that's just me.
I can't say I've ever seen it in my adult life.
Oh, well, so. I did. It was made during my adult life. I can't.
Well, I'm glad you went and watched
it. I'm ancient. No, I didn't go watch it, but I've seen it on cable.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you sat at home.
Yeah, it was awful. It was hell, recalls former child.
Nevertheless.
Yes. Anyway, you went to see
Flipped. This thing has been out in limited release since the beginning of August. And they've been trying to build some sort of grassroots movement to get it in a wider release.
Well,
it finally got a little bit wider, and you can understand why it's been sitting around for a month and a half.
Well, I have no idea what it did at the Carmike, but I do know that it's already been cut to 2 shows a day at the Biltmore.
Okay. And those are the only two places in town.
Yes, they're the only two places in town that got saddled with this.
The reason being, I would suspect, that nobody went to watch this stupid movie is that it's a stupid movie. It's...
Nonsense, people go to watch stupid movies all the time.
This is a stupid movie without any draw. There's no one in it that you go, I want to see the new... What's his face from ER? That guy. Yeah, I can't remember who's in this. And the old guy from Frasier. Yeah, I want to go see that movie.
And
Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, Rebecca De Mornay.
I didn't even realize
it
was in it until afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's Rebecca De Mornay is always a draw.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
But even more so, if it's the hand that rocked the cradle, then it definitely she's.
But the basics of this movie is it's based on a tween novel, which is actually set in the present day. Rob Reiner decided that he was going to set it in the time that he grew up. So it has this whole weird...
Hence this 1963.
Yeah. It's just this... Him being nostalgic for his childhood, it seems, which is the most boring thing I can imagine. Rob Reiner's childhood.
I'm working on it. Wait a minute. Okay. I probably could think of something.
But it's just not good. It's schmaltzy and...
Sappy.
Sappy and...
Gooey.
And the whole thing is narrated. The entire movie is narrated. There's more narration than there is dialogue. So you're like, it's books on,
it
book
thankful.
On tape. It would, well, I mean, it would help if the writing was any good, but it's the book on tape of a tween novel.
So can I take it that you are not recommending this film?
No.
Huh.
It's awful. It might be the worst thing I've seen all year.
Well, I know that you gave it the dreaded half star, and it takes a lot to piss you off to a half star level.
Well, the whole thing is just sort of offensive. But I could go on, and I won't. I don't know. It's in the review. Do you go read that?
Okay.
And you, I don't even remember what you watched
I saw Resident Evil Afterlife 3D.
Is it the best one yet?
No, it's about the same as all the others.
Okay.
Except that Mila Jovovich keeps her clothes on.
So you're saying this is the classiest of the Resident Evil?
Well, I'm saying that there's no gynecological weekly involved in this one.
There is a giant guy in a burlap.
There is a giant guy, some sort of giant mutant zombie-type creature wearing a burlap bag on his head and carrying what appears to be a giant meat tenderizer. And now, if that gets you there,
Now, I saw parts of this movie, and all the action's done in... is the whole thing in slow motion? Is this...
No, it's in that... speed it up, slow it down, stop it. Stop it, speed it up, slow it down, stop it motion. Okay.
Well, the scenes I saw were all slow motion.
It's kind of Matrix-ized.
Okay.
In that regard. It's dumb. It's Mila Jovovich fighting... Jovovich.
Actress
Mila Jovovich.
Right.
As she told us in the beginning of that movie. Yeah, well... It's her fighting people from the Umbrella Corporation... And it's her fighting.
Do not make umbrellas.
No, they don't make umbrellas. And as I believe you pointed out, and I pointed out in the review of the last film, who are they going to sell any of this stuff to?
Right.
The entire world is either zombies or people working for the Umbrella Corporation. There is no marketplace for anything they could possibly do.
They've got the market cornered on. Zombie products.
I guess that's true. You know, and there should be some sort of market for zombie products, I suppose. Anyway.
A whole new consumer.
It's pretty much exactly what you expect. It's a lot of stupid action scenes. A bunch of stuff blows up. Zombies die. Zombies don't die.
Everybody just sort of randomly dies. I got to that point.
And they didn't bring back the zombie crows from the last film, except for one fleeting shot, but they did bring back the zombie Dobermans from the original film, which I thought that was a nice touch. But all in all, I could have lived without it.
Should have had zombie chickens.
Well, I'm still waiting for zombie kangaroos.
Okay. Maybe the fifth one.
Maybe. This one ends with a complete setup for... I mean, it ends on a cliffhanger.
Oh, wow.
I mean, she's rescued. She's rescued everybody, and here comes fleets of helicopters from the Umbrella Corporation, which I guess they're there to kill off another large section of their potential market.
And I guess, and not opening this week. Well,
opening this week, but it didn't open last week. So
right.
Yes, is
not in theaters yet.
Not in theaters until Friday.
The Joaquin Phoenix documentary.
Yes, the Joaquin Phoenix documentary made by his brother-in-law, Casey Affleck.
Is he married to Ben?
No, he's... Casey is married to Princess Summerfall Winter Phoenix.
Okay.
You know, yet another one of those peculiarly named children.
Does this... Can we just look at their names and figure out why he's... acting the way he is? Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, I went in to see I'm Still Here, curious as to whether or not it would explain away the peculiar, and I don't think that's too strong, actions of Joaquin Phoenix in the past couple years. I left a whopping 107 minutes later, not really knowing any more than when I went in, except that Joaquin Phoenix is apparently an unpleasant person to be around. He appears to feel he's entitled, and I have a really much stronger suspicion that the whole thing is a put-on, and we're going to find it out fairly soon. But not, of course, until they get some mileage out of this documentary. The movie is not good. It's poorly lit. It's even worse recorded. God knows this man needs somebody to edit this thing down. It needs to lose at least 20 minutes. And yet it's fascinating because it's fascinating as a cultural, a pop culture event, as a sociological phenomenon, manufactured or not, and the fact that anybody even still cares about this is in itself fascinating to me. I didn't really like the movie, but I like thinking about the movie. So, you know, if you really want to be up on your pop culture and what's going on and, you know, get on your bets in as to whether or not, does he really want to be the world's worst rapper or is this some sort of bizarre performance art, you kind of have to see the movie. And the critics are pretty much polarized about it. In the first place, the movie's got like a 53% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which means it's pretty much down the middle. But even, it doesn't even matter if you liked it or if you didn't like it, nobody can decide. You know, Roger Ebert thinks that it's right on the money and completely real, and he's going to be really unhappy if he finds out it's not. And other people think that it's obviously a sham and that this movie is showing you that it's a sham. And it's just, it's fascinating to watch everybody fight back and forth. Whether or not the movie's any good doesn't really matter at this point. It's just, it's an event of some sort of weird importance, which I don't even understand to begin with. It's not like Joaquin Phoenix was some kind of household name superstar. I mean, what, other than Walk the Line, when you say Joaquin Phoenix, what do you think of? Quills?
Signs.
Signs, okay. Where he plays second banana to Mel Gibson.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's really... It's not, it's, to me, it was like he's not big enough for the public at large to care, but they apparently do, and that's
right.
Fascinating. So, see the movie and be fascinated after being bored and annoyed.
This Thursday, another Thursday Horror Picture Show with...
Yeah, that's because it's Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have a delightful double bill.
So you say.
But yeah, it is. Okay. Of two 1940s B Universal horrors, we have Man-Made Monster from 1941, starring Lon Chaney Jr. and Lionel Atwill. More correctly, it stars Lionel Atwill and Lon Chaney Jr. because Lon Chaney Jr. was not the star at this time. This is his first horror movie. And it's everything a 59-minute B-horror picture should be. It's slick, it's well-produced, it's got a great musical score, it's got atmosphere, it obviously wastes no time. The characters appear real, or at least realistic enough where you believe that this is actually going on. And the special effects are good, the sets are all solid. Okay, so whenever they turn on electrical equipment, we have the obligatory cutaway to clips from Frankenstein because, well, they have those clips and they're going to use them. But, I mean, it's a nice little movie. It's actually, Chaney manages to be fairly sympathetic. Lionel Atwill manages it. You know, he is just completely over the top, lip-smacking, eye-bugged-out, insane. And, you know, a lot of it works on all your little standard things, like the heroine who ill-advisedly, you know, finds herself locked at night in a laboratory with a madman and accuses him of being insane. Now, this is not the wisest move you could make, I wouldn't think. So, you know.
Well, they didn't have 100 years worth of movies to tell them.
Well, that, of course, is true, I suppose, you know.
You're sitting here in 2010 saying that's a bad idea, but
I would have said it was a bad idea in 1965 when I probably first saw this.
But in 1940, when she was in the movie.
1941, I suppose so, but then you have to also remember that Universal was working on the theory that the audiences for these movies were maroons.
Aren't they still operating on that?
Yes.
Okay.
But of course, nobody making these movies had any idea that 70 years later we'd be watching them. In fact, they'd probably be sheepish about the whole thing if they knew it.
I'm sure they'll write you a terse letter.
I'm not sure that anybody from this movie is still around to terse.
Well, then, you probably shouldn't worry about it.
I'm not going to.
Okay, good.
And the second big feature is the somewhat more ambitious atmospheric Night Monster. Ooh.
Which, now, these have monsters in them, or are they...
Well, yeah, the man-made monster is Dynamo Dan, the electrical man. I mean, he gets charged up, and if he touches you, you'll fry up like a potato chip, and you know, and he glows and pulses.
So is he naked?
No.
And how's that work?
Well, you don't see.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and also he has a nifty rubber suit that Lionel Atwill made just for this occasion, and he knew it would fit Lon Chaney Jr. I don't understand how, but hey, I guess
rubber,
he had spare
it stretches.
Time. Yeah, it stretches. Yeah.
Maybe he had multiple rubber suits.
And Night Monster does have a monster, although it is mostly an old dark house mystery.
Okay.
And it says in great big letters, "Night Monster," and then the next title says, "With Bela Lugosi and Lionel Atwill." Well, Lugosi at least is all over the place in the film as a butler. Atwill is in a handful of scenes before. He's the first murder victim, for God's sake. It's like a real waste of him. It's an incredible waste of Lugosi, only by virtue of the fact, I mean, it's no worse than a lot of his butler roles that he ended up in the 40s. But although he would have had less screen time as the Eastern mystic Agar Singh, he would have been so much more memorable in the role than Nils Astor is. And you spend the entire movie going, "Oh God, you know, when are they, you know, who did this?" But I mean, it's a fun, atmospheric film. And for those of you who know your Universal horrors, who have never seen this and end up watching this for some mysterious reason, like because we're showing it. Yes, the monster's feet did belong at one point to the Wolfman. He just kind of loaned them for the occasion, which seems only reasonable because most of the sets are borrowed from the Wolfman. But it's slick, it's well made, the production values are solid. Once again, it's got a wonderful Hans J. Salter musical score. I mean, it really is everything you want in an unassuming, unpretentious B-horror film.
Next Tuesday, or this coming Tuesday, what have you, the 21st of September.
Oh, the day after my birthday.
Yes.
Yes, okay. That's for those of you who want to send cards, money.
Condolences.
Floral contributions, you know, condolences, yes. We have John Cameron Mitchell's Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yes.
Which I believe was originally promoted as an anatomically incorrect rock odyssey. And I suppose that's a good enough description of it. It's a film that I liked an awful lot in 2001. And it didn't make it onto my 10 best list because I only saw it one time. And then it came out on DVD long after my 10 best list was... And I saw it again, and I thought, yeah, this is really a remarkable film. And it really works better the second time. It's what we could now call us, after Short Bus, kind of typical John Cameron Mitchell, in that it takes a completely outrageous, outlandish, and possibly even offensive premise and makes a kind of a sweet movie out of it. So, you know, I mean, it's... I mean, if you hate rock music, you're not going to like it. If you're offended by the premise of it, you probably haven't been around me very long to begin with. But otherwise, if you've never seen it, I hope people will give it a try. And if you have seen it, come see it again.
We have a slew.
A slew, a veritable cornucopia.
New movies coming out.
Yes.
The dumbest of which looks like Alpha and Omega. The bargain basement.
Well, I don't
film.
Know. I think it's got some competition there, but
now it looks... I've seen this trailer enough to where
the
this
trailer
looks like,
it looks awful. Yes, it does.
It's
a rom-com for 5-year-olds.
Yes, bad animation,
But it's in 3D.
B-list voice. Oh, everything is.
I know.
The novelty's worn off. When they bring back Smell-O-Vision, then I'll be impressed. Or those chairs that
give you
around.
A little electrical shock on that. What was that? That was, I know it was used for the Tingler, but I can't remember what it was called. I know the skeleton that went across the top of the theater was called Emergo.
When they do that, then I'll
then
take
get
notice.
Excited.
But for now, it's...
Yeah, 3D is like, it's a dead fish. It's gone. It's just...
Yeah.
I know people that actually will try and find theaters that aren't playing it in 3D.
Right.
So
you should try and find a theater that's not playing this and not see it, I think.
Yeah, well, that's just... You're just hoping that you don't have to.
Yes, well, keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, well.
But I will be getting to see The Town. Apparently.
Yes, you will be getting to see The Town. I've decided to be nice to you on that score.
Thank you. Which is the new Ben Affleck directed.
Right, and you also are the one who reviewed Gone Baby Gone. Which
is a movie,
you know,
I like a lot more than my review
indicates.
Yes.
Have you seen it subsequently?
No. Maybe I should.
Maybe you should, but I've never seen it, so I can't say.
I remember liking it a lot, and that was about the point where I was like,
"Yeah." But
I started liking Casey Affleck. And
but here's the trick to it. The public may be ready for another Ben Affleck-directed and co-written movie. Are they ready for one that he's in?
I feel like he's to the point now where... I mean, I don't care, personally.
We've gotten past Surviving Christmas and...
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Geely and...
It's a litmus test, I suppose, but the movie looks good.
The movie
does
look good.
It's interesting.
So...
We'll see.
It does look like the one possible really quality...
Right.
...picture that's coming out this week.
I saw someone... There was a review that called him the new Clint Eastwood.
Well, surely he's got to be better than that.
Yeah, well...
Oh boy, I'll get some comments for that. Yes.
What else do we have? Easy A.
Easy A, which, if you're not aware of this, was directed by the man who gave you Fired Up.
Yeah, I saw that and I couldn't remember what that was, and then I remember I watched it.
Then you looked up your review and...
No, I remembered it, but at first it took me a minute to say what stupid
movie
is this, and now I remember.
What stupid movie is this?
Yes. But Easy A looks a lot.
Easy A looks a lot better. It does have Cam Gigandet in it, though.
What doesn't these days?
Well, that's true.
Nevertheless, it looks.
Nevertheless, it looks better. You're right.
It looks good for what it is.
Exactly.
It looks enjoyable and pleasant.
And maybe even witty.
Yes, but only time will tell.
Time and Friday will tell. And then saving the potentially most disastrous for last, we have Devil.
Even if that thing is disastrous, it's still going to be better than Alpha and Omega.
Well, probably, because it's going to be hysterically funny by accident.
Written by M. Night Shyamalan, though the screenplay isn't his.
No, the screenplay isn't his. The story is his.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about it is every time I have seen this trailer in a theater with an audience, they're watching it and then they say, from the mind of M. Night Shyamalan. And the audience starts laughing.
Right, well.
They remember the happening. Be scientific, douchebag. I mean, you know, that's...
And judging by how no one came to watch Last Airbender.
Well, actually, Last Airbender made money in
the
cosmic
the
scheme of things. Okay, for the yes, but in the cosmic scheme
nobody
of
liked
things,
it.
Made money.
Nobody actually liked that movie. Did they?
Well, I didn't see it, so I don't know.
Okay.
So I can't tell you whether I liked it or not. It looked, you know, the last mouth breather. It's just not a concept that is going to get me into the theater if I can possibly send you.
Well.
But I mean, this is the movie sounds like a stupid Twilight Zone premise, which is typical.
Get stuck in an elevator.
Yeah, people get stuck in an elevator, and they're alarmed to find out that one of them is the devil. The question is, which one? So, what are we going to do? Spend 90 minutes of claustrophobia with the lights going on and off in an elevator while the devil does parlor tricks. I don't, you know,
it's probably the one with the horns and the
yeah, that would be a tip off. I would think that would be sort of the giveaway. So I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it in a really perverse sort of way.
And speaking of other perversities, there's the
oh yes, the Ricochet Film Festival is this weekend, and
it's being put on by a couple of guys that did.
Well, it's being put on by Michael Knox and David Forbes, and they did recruit the films for the Asheville Film Festival, RIP, in the years 2007 and 2008, which were greatly better than the films that the film festival had gotten previously. They were responsible for some of the best things that the film festival ever had. Things that sold out, and in some cases sold out multiple times, and were very popular with audiences. Unfortunately, there was a reason I won't go into as to why they were not used on the 2009 film festival, but let's just say they weren't. Okay. And so now that there is no Asheville Film Festival, they decided to start one of their own. So this is homegrown, completely grassroots. And it has no big guests, it has no stars at all, it just has 3 days of movies that they've recruited. There is one gala presentation of Sita Sings the Blues, which is a movie that Knox had recruited before,
right.
Which that's their big to-do movie, which is a good movie, it's a great little movie. If you've never seen it, it definitely needs to be seen. And it's going to have a champagne reception. So I mean, it's, you know, they're doing the best they can. So I really, you know, get out and support it, because it right. is right now the Asheville Film Festival.
Right, and there's also local films.
And there's also local films. Yes, there is. There's
Rod Murphy's
documentary being the Diablo, mm-hmm. and
Wanderlost is playing.
And yeah, David Kabler's Wanderlost is playing. So I mean, it's definitely a worthy thing to support.
Anybody Especially if you want time? more of this.
If you want more of this sort of thing, yes. And if you want to support local film and local endeavors in film, it's a good thing to go out and support. Okay. Climbs down off soapbox.
I guess we're through.
Well, he said we should do the sign off, so okay. I guess we are through.
Well, I'm signing off.
All right. Well, you sign off then. Go okay. get something to eat.
Yes.
You're Justin Souther.
You're Ken Hanke.
Yeah. Yep. This is true.
This is being brought to everyone, for better or for worse,
or anywhere in between.
Yes. By the Mount Express.
Yes. Who have grandiosely given us this space, and it has been produced by the just absolutely dazzling Steve Schanefeld, whom I don't believe I have ever seen quite so close to being in a state of complete torpor as he is this afternoon.
I can't say I have.
Okay. So, well, you aren't exactly bubbling.
Well, I'm known for my bubbling.
That's so. True, you are. You're known for being, you know, a live wire.
Yeah.
So in any case, that'll do it for us for this week.
Until next time.
Yes, we'll probably be back. Unless we get a better offer.
Yeah.